Thanks to Curex for its longtime support of Another Mother Runner. Whether it's running, hiking, biking, court sports, golf, or even working, Curex insoles can help you live a healthy and active lifestyle. For 15% off, visit Curex.com and use code AMR15. Welcome to AMR Answers. This is Sarah Bowen-Shea.
And this is Dimity McDowell coming in from Denver, nice and hot, where it's truly hot. I just walked in shorts. It's like 65 degrees outside here, Sarah.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. It was a little ambitious with the shorts. I won't lie. I was like, oh, maybe when the wind kicked up. But then the sun, the sun can be so intense here that when no wind, good sun.
Yeah.
Let those white legs shine.
Get a little vitamin D directly on the skin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So word on the street is that you went to a deadlift workshop. Am I right?
Has that gone viral? Yeah, I did. And so to be fair, so it was a deadlift workshop. So to remind anyone who might not know what a deadlift is, it's like one of the Olympic lifting moves. It's basically you pick up a barbell with weights on it from the bottom using your glutes and your hamstrings, not your back, and you kind of snap your hips and then you just bring it up to waist level. And so people can lift super heavy. People, not including myself, can lift super heavy there just because it's your lower body. You're not pushing anything overhead. You're not, and it's a very simple movement, which begs the question, why do you need a workshop about it? Except that, I mean, it's interesting because I was like, it was offered at the Lion's Den. I've talked about the Lion's Den already on this podcast. It's the place where I go for 3 strength classes, Monday, Wednesday, Friday mornings, usually. And so it was just a free workshop. And I'm like, when we deadlift every Friday. So I was like, well, like rowing, like running, like anything, like what looks simple can actually be broken down into a lot of pieces that can make it a lot better when you think about the pieces as a whole, So anyway, it was really interesting. It was 90 minutes. It was led by this great guy who is a USA powerlifting coach. And we did some interesting things. Again, like breaking it down is just kind of fascinating to me. It's like doing drills in the pool or strides after a run or anything like that where you're like, okay, like what, because we just started like just get, how do you get set up, how do you pull on the bar? Where do you feel tension in your back? Where are your hips compared to your knees? Where's, all this kind of stuff. So it was really interesting. So, I mean, the long story short is I'm better at them now, I think. I would hope. I mean, it's training, right? Like I have to go every time in. I'm like, okay, I'm setting myself up. I'm putting my, where am I putting my hands? Where am I putting my feet? How am I engaging my, my legs, my core, my shoulders, all that kind of stuff. But the cool part is that I was like, wow, look at this. So we kind of had medium-ish to low weight on the bar while we were doing a bunch of reps and like drills and stuff. And then we did 5 reps with this kind of very slow pace because when you slow things down, they get a lot harder, when you're lifting, right? Then he came around. The teacher's name was Sean. The coach's name was Sean. Sean comes around with like his, iPhone calculator. And he's like, okay, you can do this. You can do this for 10 reps. And he told me I could do, now I'm going to forget. I think it was 175.
Wow.
175 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know about that, Sean. And of course I'm like the heckler in the back of the room. Just like, are you sure? Everyone else is just like, I mean, there were some very strong people there for sure. Thankfully I was like, okay, well I'll try it. And so the idea was, is we had been partnered up, like doing all these drills and stuff. And then you were supposed to do 10 deadlifts with this magic number that he walked around and gave everyone based on how hard or easy those 5 reps were.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, okay, well, so, and then my partner was a nice woman. I know her from like, we go to class together sometimes. It was very relaxed. And I was like, okay, well, I don't care if she sees me fail on these 10 reps, Oh no, we're doing them one by one. Oh. The whole class is watching you do them. To see how many you can do.
Oh my gosh.
I know. I know, Sarah. So I was like, okay, I'm here for it. I am here to challenge myself. It's like stuff like that. You grow, right? Like I am not used to having people watch me deadlift at all. So thankfully I wasn't one, but I was number three. Mm-hmm. And I was, so the first guy, I can't remember, he did about 10. Mm-hmm. And then my partner, who is like, I'm like, well, you a former gymnast? Because she's just so like tight and taut and strong and little. I mean, she's just like one big muscle fiber. Mm-hmm. And like her number was like, I can't remember what her weight was, but and Sean's like, and sometimes women can do more than they think they can. And like, I think she did like 22 or something like that. I mean, just a lot of deadlifts. And I was like, okay, so I just have to go somewhere between like 10 and 22. Or, you know, I'm like, okay, no pressure here. But I got up and I when I first like got myself set up, it's the first time I've used a mixed grip. Mm. So when you know,
we're getting
so,
techie like, here, Timothy. Yeah,
I am. I'm going to explain it. So usually, you know, you just grab the bar, you know, with both hands over like they're like, you know, claws of a owl or something.
Yeah. Bird, well done. You know? Uh-huh, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But with a mixed grip, you turn your palm up on one.
Yes. Gotcha.
So that you have more supports. Mm-hmm. And it's not your grip strength that is going to hinder you from doing the move. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Okay.
Because that's really what I was concerned about. Is
oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. But Sean, my grip strength? Aw.
Yeah, yeah. I can't. I'm only good at carrying 30 pounds of groceries any chance. So I did it. I was like, okay, whatever. I'm just going to do what I can do. Of course, like I just get bright red. Mm. I think I did 8. Mm-hmm. I did 8 and then my form started to break down. I was like, I'm not going to do more. But I did 175 at 8 reps of 175. And I went back and looked at in December, we kind of did a week of like doing our one rep max. And mm-hmm. again, this is not super interesting to me. I mean, I like it. It's, but I'm not there to beef up my one rep max. I'm there mm-hmm. to get strong, mm-hmm. lift heavy, do all the things that, you know, we need to do as aging female athletes. But mm-hmm. so I don't push myself, I guess is what I'm trying to say, as maybe as hard as I should on the, at least on the one rep max. And so my one rep max was 165.
Oh,
and I did 8 at 175.
Divinity. Yeah.
I know. Wow. So
wow.
Feeling
that's
very,
impressive.
Very proud.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a lot of like people watching me, right? I don't know that if I would have been, I probably would have gotten 5 if I just had my partner watching me.
Oh my gosh. Well, that sort of leads into our first question, which comes from Jody with a return to running query.
Hi, Jimmy and Sarah. This is Jody from Nazareth, Pennsylvania. I'm calling with a question about training. I have not seriously or consistently run since running a 340 marathon at the end of 2021, meaning I haven't done more than walking or light jogging for 30 minutes here and there. I've done some HIIT training and strength training, but that's it. My question is, I would like to run a half in April of 2025 for my 50th birthday. So I have a little over a year to get myself back to running again. How should I go about my training to get my consistency, my speed, and my mileage back up to where it was before having to train for the half at the start of next year? Any suggestions or thoughts you guys can give would be greatly appreciated. I love listening to your show. You guys are so knowledgeable, and I'm excited to hear what you think. Thanks.
So Jody, we're so glad you enjoy our show, and dang, that's a mighty speedy marathon. And I will now say why Dimity, your comment about people watching you doing the deadlifts relates to Jody's, because I followed up with Jody partly to find out how to spell her first name. It's an I, not a Y, folks. And mm-hmm. that she did that 340 marathon on a treadmill at her home. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is impressive. Nice mm-hmm. Mental toughness there, Jody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. So, and then I also wanted to find out, well, why'd she stop running after her marathon? And so she said, that she put 100% of everything into her training for months prior, that her family had to shift their lives for her and her runs. She said her son even planned his college visits around her training schedule. And so, you know, after that run, which she felt she gave it 100%, which I definitely think it sounds like she did. Good for you, Jody. And she'd hit her goal. And then she said that she actually felt kind of sad about it, and that she started strength training and doing whatever felt good, whether that was yoga, walking, HIIT workouts, like she mentioned in the question in her voicemail. And then and that running made her sad, feel sad for a long time. And so then she recently started to get back into that loving feeling for it, but that it feels so hard.
Yeah. Dang it, that there's no savings account, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's pretty normal. I mean, to go after a really big goal like that and get it, I mean, sometimes you're kind of like, oh my gosh, I just ran off a cliff and now what do I do? You know, I definitely know that that's, you know, that's not an unusual feeling after you finish something and you're a little bit sadder than you would anticipate being. Because you did the thing, right?
And Banjo agrees. Oh, yes.
And so does Mason. Sorry. It doesn't fail. We record these in the afternoon. If we did it in the morning, he's very quiet. He's sleeping. But afternoon is just like, I'm up. I'm patrolling for the walkers. Anyway, so.
It's time to howl. All right. So, Jody, I really admire that you're planning so far in advance to be prepared to start training. So it's not even she's like, oh, I'm about to start training next month. It's like, I want to train to be prepared to train. So, and Dim, I will admit that I will be listening to your coachly advice quite closely with great interest because I'm fairly certain that in a few months I will be in Jody's shoes and I'm going to be start training for a fall half marathon. So.
Okay, so Sarah, spill the beans. What fall half marathon do you have on your mind? Inquiring minds want to know, Sarah.
I'm going to keep that close to the vest for now. Look for announcements coming. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's fair. That's fair. I get it. Okay. Well, when you're ready to train and, you know, spill the beans. And Jody, I mean, the biggest thing that I want to say to Jody is that she's asking about, you know, she wants to get her consistency, speed, and mileage back up. And I would say, let's first start for consistency, then go for mileage, and then speed is kind of the cherry on top there. So it sounds like she's doing like 30 minutes one day a week. Is that about right?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So start from there, right? So maybe let's go 30 minutes three times a week. Again, I don't care if you go 1 mile. I don't care if you go 5 miles in those 30 minutes. It just has to be a comfortable, nice pace that you love, right? That kind of is fun. That feels like it's like enervating. No, sorry. That's the wrong word. Enervating you. Because that means that taps you.
I know, you know, enervating is a very confusing word. I always thought it did mean that it energizes you. And I think it means the opposite.
Yeah, I think it. I always think of it like depleting you. It kind of like pulls all the minerals out of you. So I don't know why I think that way, but anyway, it energizes you, not enervates you. So that's what we're looking for. And then you can add time to that, right? So you can go 40 minutes. We're going to start with 3 days a week. You're going to go up to 4 days a week. You know, the whole, the basic rule of thumb is don't go more than 10% from week to week. Don't make a jump more than 10%. So if you're, you know, at 90 minutes, that's, you know, 99 minutes the next week. Or if you do it by miles, if you do it by those miles, if you do it by miles and you're, you know, 10 miles a week, the next week is 11 miles. Just simple, easy math, just looking for that running groove again, where you're like, oh, that was fun. Ending before you're feeling depleted.
I like that advice.
And then just keep going right from there. And over time, you can add in that fourth day that turns into the long run day, right? So maybe you're doing Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then Saturday or Sunday is your long run day. And start with that long run, maybe a little bit longer than your weekday runs, and then just bump it up a little bit and up a little bit. Most of the training plans for half marathons, depending upon their intensity, are going to start that first week of your long run is going to be 6 if you're kind of a beginning half marathon or on a more basic plan, or more like 7 or 8 if you are going to do a more advanced plan. So you can, you know, I mean, she's got plenty of time. She can work up to 8. She can work up to 10 miles on the long run. I mean, you could even do a nice 13 mile long run because she has a whole year, right?
Yes.
I mean, so it's really, but I just wouldn't try to force the speed. Once you kind of feel like, okay, my body feels used to running, then add speed. But again, do it in an easy, fun way. Do fartleks, do DIY intervals where you're just like, okay, I'm going to run fast for 1 minute and then slow for 1 minute. I'm going to do that 6 times and just see what it feels like. There's no kind of intensity on the pace at that point. There's plenty of time when you start to train, you know, with a structured schedule that you can build speed into that. If you pick a plan that is, you know, like race the half marathon or 13.1 race or 13.1 obliterate. Like if you have one of our plans, like mm-hmm. there's going to be plenty of speed work in there. Don't get me wrong, you know, so you can definitely work on that. In the meantime, other things that you can do to increase speed is always, of course, strength training, which sounds like she's doing really well. Mm-hmm. Hill repeats. You can never go wrong with doing hill repeats. Mm-hmm. You can't hurt yourself very easily doing hill repeats, and they build strength and speed. So you can put those into your schedule, you know, once a week, whenever you feel ready for them. So, mm-hmm. but more than anything, you know, I mean, like, let's not try to put the cart before the horse and be like, okay, I've got to be like really fast to start to train for this half marathon. Mm-hmm. Let's like lay some consistency, lay some joy, mm-hmm. keep it fun, keep it light, hold it loosely. Mm-hmm. And then once the training starts, let's go. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. LFG is what we say around the volleyball court.
All right. We're going to take a quick break to hear from the folks who make this free content possible. We'll be back in a flash.
Thanks to Curex for its continued support. For 15% off Curex insoles, visit Curex.com and use code AMR15. I just switched to a new model of running shoe that I adore, and swapping out the sock liner in them for Curex Run Pro insoles catapulted the shoes into true red hot love category. The Curex Run Pro insoles provide flexible support with an ideal level of rigidity, meaning the max cushion shoes have the slightly livelier feel I crave while still providing maximum support and comfort. With Curex's patented dynamic arch technology, Curex insoles properly support the foot and its natural movement for ideal knee and hip alignment. All my joints and my back are grateful. Feel the Curex difference. Curex offers the largest line of sport and activity-specific insoles, including ones for running, soccer, hiking, walking, golf, hockey, and even ones for folks on their feet all day in the workplace. I have Curex insoles in all my athletic shoes, including the recently debuted Pickleball Pro insoles in my pickleball shoes. Basically, I don't make an athletic move without the support of Curex insoles. See what I'm talking about and try Curex risk-free today. The company offers a 60-day warranty, even if the product has been cut to fit your shoes. Visit Curex.com and use code AMR15. For 15% off a pair of Curex insoles. That's CURREX.com with code AMR15 for 15% off. Curex.com and that code AMR15.
Okay, we have another person with a half marathon on the mind. This is half marathoner in training Gina, who has a good question.
Hello and happy Saturday. My name is Dina and I live in Philadelphia, and I have a question for you wonderful host. I love your podcast and I love your running programs, and I'm using your half marathon training program to get myself ready for a half marathon in March. So here's my question. I like to use the goos, and I'm trying to decide or figure out when to use caffeinated goos and when not. In other words, if I'm going to be out on a run and it's going to take me a while, I'm a back-of-the-pack runner, what's the ratio of caffeinated goos to non-caffeinated goos? So hope to hear from you and get this question out before my marathon, half marathon in March. Thanks so much. Love the show. Take care.
Thanks for the podcast. Love, Gina.
And thank you for following one of those half marathon plans in the Train Like a Mother Club, Gina. I understand that you are just finishing the Napa Valley half marathon this weekend. Mm-hmm. So hopefully it went well. You had that smile on your face and you finished feeling like you had fuel in the tank. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Gina was another one who I followed up with. We have our messages coming in on Google Voice, and then I can send a message via Google Voice, like a text message. And so I was like, hey, how do you spell your first name and what race are you doing? And when I found out she was doing the Napa Valley race, I put her in touch with my good friend Sheila, who I trained for the 2010 Portland Marathon with, and now is one of my best pickleball buddies. So hopefully they will connect like at the expo or something like that.
Nice.
Yeah. So, okay. So if you didn't quite understand why I said good so funny in the intro to this question, it's because we're going to be talking about goo here, which is spelled G-U, and they are packets of energy gels that provide easy to access carbohydrates, sodium, and amino acids, the things that your body is needing to be replenished on a training run of, you know, when you go 45 minutes or an hour or longer. And I went on the site and looked up how many flavors they have. They have 14 flavors of their original gels, 10 of which have caffeine, because the Goo Energy site marks whether a flavor has caffeine or not, which is very handy. Espresso Love, which is a flavor, Dimity, that I know over the years you have been a fan of.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like all Goo original gels, it has 100 calories per packet. And then this one, Espresso Love, has 40 milligrams of caffeine, which is less than half of what a typical cup of coffee packs, because coffee has roughly 100 milligrams of caffeine. And then I looked at some other flavors. Chocolate Outrage also has caffeine, but just half the number of Espresso Love. It has 20 milligrams. And then those, nifty-difty Goo energy gels, sometimes the caffeinated flavors aren't as obvious. Like Salted Caramel has 20 milligrams. And then Jet Blackberry, one of my favorite flavors, has 40 milligrams, which I always find a little surprising. But if I have my reader glasses on, I can see that on the front of the package, it very clearly says whether it has caffeine in it or not and how many milligrams of caffeine, which is good depending on whether you're looking for, caffeine or not. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're wearing your readers on a run, right? or at least before, as you pack them into your stash.
Yeah.
So there have been a lot of studies about caffeine and how it affects your performance. And it definitely, it is in a good way. Mm-hmm. But the big caveat here, of course, is that you have to try it, right? Mm-hmm. You can't just pull it out on race day. Don't pull out your Jet Blackberry on race day and think you're going to have jets. You're probably going to be jetting right to that porta potty is what my guess is.
Yes.
Similarly, having a cup of coffee before a race is a good idea. But if you, normally drink herbal tea every morning and then you get up to race day and you're like, all right, I'm going to load up here. Mm-hmm. Again, probably going to backfire. Mm-hmm. Common sense, but just wanted to point that out there. Mm-hmm. So caffeine, that's the exact reason why we have our morning cup of coffee. It gives you focus. It gives you mental clarity. It decreases your perceived effort. So, when you I'm gonna have a cup of coffee and I'm gonna tackle that task. The same thing happens when you take caffeine on the run. It just makes things feel easier. Mm-hmm. As a kind of physiologically, it can help you utilize fat a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. So that gives you more glycogen stores to use, mm-hmm. giving you the ability to run longer. Mm-hmm. It can also delay your fatigue a little bit. And that they've seen. The research is with 70 milligrams, that's kind of the minimum amount you need for performance. So to go back, Salted Caramel has 20, Chocolate Outrage has 20, Jet Blackberry has 40. So even just one of those, you might get a little mental boost from that. You might, get also a placebo effect a little bit. You're like, oh, I'm taking caffeine, but you might have to pile them more on if you're actually looking to, materialize those benefits.
Yeah, exactly.
To dope with caffeine. It's about as deep as we go into doping. You're like, right. All right, the Jet Blackberry, you got it on. You got the stash.
Right. So this definitely is intriguing to me, and it's something I pay attention to. I do need to put on my readers before I, pack up when I go on training runs, because I'm super sensitive to caffeine. I am the person drinking herbal tea in the morning, not coffee. So this is what I do. How I use caffeine. So I have a caffeinated Goo early on, say mile two of, let's say I'm doing a, 13 mile training run. I'm not there yet, but I thought back in time to when I was training for things. And so that way that caffeine gets into your system early and there's more time for your body to benefit from and to utilize that caffeine. And then during the mid miles of that run, I switched to non-caffeinated to go easy on my stomach and my system, because I don't, I'm out there, I'm trying to, slow my roll a little bit, and not, because I don't like the feeling of being jittery. I can't stand feeling jittery. And so I go easy on the caffeinated ones. I switch to, unfortunately they're doing away with Tastelessly Nude, which I'm pretty sure was one of their non-caffeinated flavors. And then, but my current favorite non-caffeinated flavor is raspberry lemonade. So let's say I'm running, those 13 magical miles, I take out a raspberry lemonade Goo at mile 5 and then again at mile 8. But then at mile 10, when typically my energy would be flagging somewhat, I have caffeinated Goo to boost, give me the Jet Blackberry booster rockets to help me finish strong.
Oh, top it off. I like it. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great strategy. I don't really have a strategy, honestly, mostly because I don't have that. Like, I mean, lately I've been, I've been having half calf, you know, lattes in the morning because I'm trying to be as productive in my sleep cycle as I can, as a going through perimenopause, menopause. But when I used it, I also used to use Noon Kona Cola, which also had caffeine in it. And I would have espresso love. I mean, it wasn't an issue for me. Mm. So, I mean, that's not helpful, but if caffeine is not an issue for you and you're used to drinking it, you know, I would say, you know, definitely test it during your training runs. And, you know, maybe you could do 3 or 4 caffeinated goos, no problem. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's going to be a case by case basis there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Demi, bring up a good point also for Gina to pay attention to what she's drinking on her long runs, because if she is drinking something other than water, it might have caffeine in it. Caffeine. You know, even goo hydration tabs, the strawberry hibiscus flavor, I'm like, oh, it sounds so good. It has caffeine in it. So I've actually never tried that flavor.
Oh, okay.
So yeah.
It goes to say that you need to like pay attention. I mean, Gina is obviously, she's asking this question, but you know, it's, you know, there's so many varieties and different flavors and different, you know, variations on the theme that it pay attention to what you're eating and drinking out on the run.
Mm-hmm. Put on those cheater glasses while you're packing, packing your little waist pack up there.
exactly.
Okay. This is Half Ironman Heather asking about swag.
Hi, Sarah and Dimity. This is Heather from Yucaipa, California, and I have a relay question for you. I am signing up for my second half Ironman relay here in a couple months. It is my favorite. It's the best thing ever. It's so, so much fun. I'm doing the run, and my friend is doing the bike, and then another friend is doing the swim. But so with the half Ironman relay, everybody gets the swag. So everybody gets the backpack, everybody gets the hat and the t-shirt. And so my question is, if I'm not doing the whole thing, do I wear the hat on my runs in the future? Do I ever wear the backpack, or do I just pack it up and put it in my closet, or what do I do? Because I'm not doing the whole thing. So anyway, I just wanted to know what you guys thought about it. Thanks so much. Bye.
Okay, Dimity, gotta say, the second I heard this question, I thought you'd love it.
It is a great question, and I love, I do love a good relay team, and I love that you're doing it again, Heather. I think it's great, and you're doing the run, which is super cool.
Yeah, yeah. So a million years ago in my past life, I did the swim portion of a half Vineman in Sonoma, California. It was at my very first magazine job, and it was with my colleagues, and I had so much fun. It was truly a blast. And for the longest time, I had a triptych. I had 3 pictures of, you know, me coming out of the water from the swim. My buddy D was doing the bike, and my still great friend who I've even texted this week, Chris, he did the half marathon portion of the half Vineman. So I just have so many happy memories.
Wait, did you have that above your like fireplace or what?
No, it was on my desk. It was when I had my more long-term job at Walking Magazine. It was on my desk. And then, it was on my freelance desk for a while. It is not on my Another Mother Runner desk though. So I mean, maybe need to dig it out.
Resurrect that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very fun.
Okay. So Dim, what's your take on, can Heather, you know, rightfully.
Oh, of course. I mean, yes. I mean, and not like, oh, it's a bad idea to ask, but you were there. You participated in the event. They gave you the swag. I mean, part of that's part of the deal, right? And and you don't have to do the whole thing. I mean, I believe that there are plenty of people walking around with stuff that they didn't even like do, period. Maybe their husband or wife did it, or their child or something like that. But no, absolutely. Wear it with pride. And I mean, the other thing is they want you to wear it, right? Because that's also like advertising for them. And I'm not saying that that's why you should wear it. You should wear it because you ran 13.1 miles in a half Ironman relay. And that's super cool. But, you know, I would totally wear it if with the caveat of 2 things. One, you like it and it's cute. And two, it fits you well, you know? Because that all of a sudden is, I mean, backpack, sure, you know, but sometimes the shirts can be just so wonky, you know? Mm-hmm. And you're just like, okay, and then, and who designed this? Did, you know, mm-hmm. like, was this your second grader in their, you know, in their art class?
Right. So, or it has so many advertisers on the back. It's like, yeah, I don't mind promoting the race, but do I really, you know, that window company and the insurance company and the bathtub refinishers?
Yeah, we don't need all that.
So I just thought, I don't know, I you are the modest Midwesterner, Dimity, so I thought there might be a tiny part of you that was like, well, maybe.
No, I mean, it really, I mean, if she wants to do it, great. I mean, the modern Midwest part of me was like, when I did Iron Man, mm-hmm. I never wore my shirt afterwards. I still have it, but I don't think I ever wore it, right? Because I just, like, I didn't. Again, I've gotten better at it. I can do deadlifts in front of other people now, but like, I didn't want to draw attention to myself. It just didn't feel that wasn't on brand with me at the time. Mm-hmm. So, but if you enjoy wearing it, and whenever I see anyone wearing something Iron Man, I'm like, cool. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I mean, I don't ever like judge anyone else. It's just more that I just was like mm-hmm. not comfortable personally doing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Versus me and my Boston Marathon jacket from the first Boston I ran. It is orange with black stripes down the arms. And I'm like, really? I had to do it the year that it's super ugly. And I just feel it's so Halloweenish that for a while I would only wear it to my kids' soccer games in Octobers. Because I'm like, okay, it's my Halloween jacket. And I can't tell you the last time I wore that jacket. But if I had a cute blue one or a black one, maybe with like some periwinkle stripes, I'd be wearing it a little more often. So no, but I completely agree. Heather, wear that swag with pride. Use it. Put it to good use. You know, it's not going to do any good sitting in your closet or, you know. I love that she thinks, you know, should I just pack it in my closet? No, it's not a storage cube. You know, it's a backpack.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I would totally wear it. And wear it on your runs, especially because you did the run, you know, for sure.
Exactly. So, yeah, maybe
not the backpack on the run unless you want a big challenge. You can load up some weight in there or something.
Yeah, right. All right. Well, Tim, as you said before we started recording, these are all great questions. So please call with your own great question by ringing 470-BADASS-1. That's 470-223-2771. Start by telling us your first name and where you're calling from. Please keep your message to a minute or less. And that number is in our show notes.
So we talked a little bit about half marathons. So if you have a half marathon on your mind, and maybe it's your first one back in a while, we've got a program to get you over the finish line, feeling strong and smiling. Take this review from Cassandra, who did our 13.1 run-walk program. She said, this program is really the whole package. Between the well-put-together plan, the videos, and more, it's absolutely the answer to injury-free training and running a half marathon you can be proud of. I love every Train Like a Mother plan I've signed up for and will continue to sign up for more. So if you've got that on your mind, we've got 6 programs. You don't have to run-walk. You can obliterate. You can do whatever you need to do. Mm-hmm. Head to programs on our website and check out all 6 comprehensive half marathon programs we offer. We will link them in our show notes as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also you get a whole bunch of goo swag in the swag bag. Speaking of swag and goo, and we tied together all 3 questions, Dimity. Done. Mic drop, we're out.
There you go.
Our podcast today was produced in St. Paul, Minnesota by Barry Madure from Fire on the Bluff.
Keep those questions coming. We are here with answers and some bad puns, some good puns. I don't know.